Reporters and justice groups are taking interest in a bill that just passed the Senate Intelligence Committee, which falls under the National Intelligence Authorization Act, and which was created to curb intelligence disclosures to the press. The bill grew out of congressional concern about recent media stories on American cyber attacks on Iran, a terrorist plot in Yemen that was foiled by a double agent, and the so-called kill list of terrorist suspects approved for drone strikes. Elizabeth Goteen, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice.
The part of the bill that deals with authorized leaks of information really does very little. It's a reporting requirement that it's hard to even parse what would be reported and when. And really, authorized leaks of information are not that serious a problem because almost by definition, if the president or the White House is authorizing information to be released, that information probably shouldn't have been classified in the first place and isn't going to harm national security because the president is not an enemy of the state and isn't trying to subvert national security. So the part of the bill that actually would actually do something significant and that really should be of concern to reporters is the part that addresses communications between members of the intelligence community and the media. And I would say the most disturbing provision of the bill is a provision that would require that only the heads of agencies or their deputies or a designated person within the public affairs office be allowed to engage in off-the-record conversations with the media. And basically what this does is just to stop the flow of information about any intelligence activities. Now, this is classified or unclassified intelligence activities to the public, because only the heads of the agencies can talk about these things, and so it very much slants the information that's available to the public. And the other thing that it does is it essentially prohibits whistleblowing. It prohibits people within the intelligence community from bringing government misconduct or wrongdoing to the public's attention.
David Ignatius is a columnist for The Washington Post, and his syndicated column today, titled Draconian Anti-Leak Bill Cracks Down on Wrong Officials, argues the bill may chill discussions that take place between journalists and intelligence officials who might have special expertise for background briefings.
In general, more information is good. As I said in the piece, I basically think the Jeffersonian view that more debate is better than less, even if there's a cost in terms of national security, is right. I think that's how the system should work. So I don't mean to be endorsing the idea that there should be a crackdown on anybody. There is so much overclassification, information that should be routinely available to the public, that doesn't require safeguarding at all, is now stamped secret or top secret, and it just adds to the amount of information that, if this legislation passes, people legally will not be allowed to discuss. And my worry is that this is going to have the effect of criminalizing the coverage of foreign policy by journalists and the commentary about it by people like me who write columns. It's a really terrible idea. I think this is a time when the U.S. needs more discussion about foreign policy, not less, and this would have the effect of closing discussion off.
Ignatius says in his 35 years of writing about intelligence matters, the most damaging leaks don't come from U.S. intelligence agencies. They come from overseas or the executive branch or from Congress. But what about those leaks? The New York Times revealed that the disclosures that caused a furor in Congress didn't come from the usual government sources. The Stuxnet computer worm that destroyed some Iranian nuclear centrifuges first came to light not from press leaks, but from computer security companies that saw its consequences in several countries. Goteen says what's missing from the bill is the connection between overclassification and the leaks.
That connection exists on two different fronts. One is the fact that people who see improperly classified information day in, day out, they see this stamp of classification abused consistently, they lose respect for the system. And the problem is that that puts all secrets at risk. That puts the real secrets at risk and the purely nominal ones at risk when the people who deal with classified information think that classification is meaningless with some reason. So in that sense, overclassification, I think, contributes directly to the leak problem. And then it also contributes potentially to leaks because when you have so much information that's classified, so much of it needlessly classified within government, then everyone needs a clearance, right? I mean, even relatively low-level, non-sensitive positions require a clearance because there's so much classified information that just is floating around everywhere. And what that means is you end up with almost 5 million people who have a security clearance. And, you know, obviously, the more people you have who have a clearance to see classified information, the more likely it is that you're going to have some bad apples in that barrel. So it's not a very smart way to try to control information and try to avoid the disclosure of real secrets.
Ignatius says the bill was expected to pass the House and Senate fairly easily, but that was before people started looking at it, and now there are likely to be some changes to the bill before that's likely to happen. For WBAI's Evening News, I'm Rebecca Miles reporting.